This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. Today marks the 26th consecutive day of marches in Milwaukee. The protests began after the death of George Floyd at the hands of a Minneapolis police officer. While Floyd's death was the catalyst, protesters say police brutality is not an isolated issue, and they want to see improvements here in Milwaukee. Organizers of Milwaukee's protests say they plan to continue marching, and they say they're motivated by a hope for change. WUWM's LaToya Dennis spoke to a group of organizers that call themselves the New Milwaukee. Khalil Coleman, Destiny Monet, and Mariah Smith talk about their goals for the protests. Smith starts by explaining why she got involved.
I just saw on Facebook that there was a march, and again, that was against, the police brutality. It was right after George Floyd was murdered. So went down, and the feeling I got was something that I could never explain. I can't explain it to this day. And that was, I think we're on day 20 now, maybe. I'm gonna be honest with you, all the days are kind of meshing together, so I'm not sure which day we're on, but it was a feeling that I cannot explain to this day. So, and it was so empowering. I can't say that it was an empowering feeling. So walking with all different colors of people, all different races, all different walks of life, people that had money, people that were poor, people that were middle class, absolutely everybody. And everybody was there with the same agenda, which was justice. So with that being said, it was something that was kind of, it was addictive. Like I didn't want to stop. I felt like, you know, if I stop, it's like, okay, I'm taking a step away, but keeping going is just the feeling that I got. I don't know how they really explain it, but the feeling that I got from that first day is what's kind of kept me going. And it's always been a message for justice, a message for equality. So that's why I'm still here, because we still don't have what we've been marching for.
Have you ever been involved with anything like this before?
No, I have not. That was actually the first protest I had ever walked in.
So why this one?
This one was a little different for me. This man, George Floyd, I'm going to say his name, George Floyd, he was calling out, begging for them to stop. Please get off of my neck. He wasn't aggressive. He wasn't resisting or any of that. And he was still killed. I forgot his name. He was selling, they suspected him of selling bootleg CDs. You know, he was fighting on the ground, but again, they were holding him down. And this just hit differently because he was laying there. You watched him screaming to not responding at all, to them flipping his body over and him being loose, just completely loose, lifeless. So that hit me hard. It hit me very, very hard. If somebody could do that with a camera on him, what other cops do we have doing this that don't have cameras on them? It's imperative that we have a change. It is a necessity that we have a change, because we have cops that literally do not care that they're being recorded while murdering a man. So that's why this one hit me a bit harder. Well, hit me the hardest of them all.
Do you believe there are police officers locally with what you've described as the attitude of not caring?
That is across the board. We're, you know, we are marching with for Jay Anderson. We're marching for all of them here in Milwaukee.
Now, you just mentioned Jay Anderson, and I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. Now, Jay Anderson was killed by a white Wauwatosa police officer, Joseph Mensa. It was said that Anderson, who was black, was drunk and sleeping in his car in a park.
This officer, Joseph Mensa, he's been on duty for 5 years. He has 3 bodies, and he's fired his weapon 28 times. That's what y'all go through training for. You can use a taser. You can use your little stick, whatever it's called. And there are still injustice is happening. It's not just stuff we're seeing on TV. These are things that we are seeing on a daily here. So these officers need to resign as well, just like in Menominee Falls. Somebody, the village, the lady that's on the village, they asked her, somebody wrote her in a group chat and asked her, hey, I just heard gunshots over by the police station. Is everything okay? And she said, practicing for the rally on Saturday. What type of mess is that? And this is kids walking. And even if it wasn't kids walking, even if it was grown men, they're peacefully protesting. So how can you, as a village representative, say that, consciously say that? And yeah, so there's a problem throughout the globe. That's why this is a global protest, because there's problems throughout the world with this, not just Minneapolis.
Now, Destiny Monet, I'm coming to you now, and I'm going to ask you that same question. Why get involved?
I just couldn't stand to sit on my phone on social media and talk about it. I wanted to do something. So as soon as I seen it was a march going on in my city, I had to be a part of it. I went down to 27th and Center, and I just saw a bunch of people out there chanting, walking with their signs, and I really felt like I belonged there. And Mariah was talking on, she spoke on the feeling that you get. It's like an overwhelming feeling of love, support, and it's addicting, like she said. And just seeing us all come together as a unified group is kind of like showing me what the world could be. How, you know, going through neighborhoods that I hate to say we don't belong in, but that's just how Milwaukee is set up. Being able to walk through neighborhoods that I don't belong in with our white allies, that was great, because I finally feel supported. We're yelling Black Lives Matter. We're not trying to convince you that. We have people agreeing with us that say Black Lives Matter. And I just wanted to help with being the change. So I feel like it was essential for me to join in with the movement and make something happen instead of just talking about it.
Have you ever been involved with anything like this before?
No, ma'am. This is my first protest, my very first one. I don't know where I've been all these years, but this is my very first one.
And Khalil, what about you? You're not new to this at all, I know. But why this time? Why now?
I took a break for a minute, you know, after, you know, the Derrick Williams. And then right after Derrick Williams, you know what I'm saying? You know, we had the Dontre Hamilton. You know, then I was out there in St. Louis and Baltimore, and it was like real, it was just real heavy. So I ended up just kind of like falling back. But then when I seen the video and like other videos have popped up before, and like, of course, other things that happened before, but it really didn't tug at my spirit like that until I seen George Floyd video. And it was just something about the police, like just confidently, like standing on that man's neck. And watching George Floyd like take his last breath, like it really bothered me. Like that's why now. You know what I'm saying? That's what made me get back out here again, because, you know, then I ended up going to Minnesota and you know, just kind of being in the spirit. You know what I'm saying, like with the community. Like that's what I needed. Like for me, that's what I needed again. You know what I'm saying? To kind of spark my flame, you know what I'm saying, of activism, you know, and to, you know, transition some of the energy that I felt was left undone, you know what I'm saying, in previous times, in previous marches, you know. So for me, that's what sparked, you know, my feet on the ground, you know what I'm saying, and my walking, you know what I'm saying, at this particular moment.
Now, you talk about things that were left undone from previous marches, previous protests. What are some of those things you're alluding to?
See, justice. Justice, y'all. Is you know, a lot of cops, man, you know, even previously, you know, just kind of looking at the Derrick Williams case, you know, we marched every Sunday for a whole year before they even decided to do a federal inquiry where they had, you know, came, got this federal judge who had retired and got him off the bench, and hey, he came in, they worked with the federal government, and then you know, the whole time, like, they covered up, the death of Derrick Williams. You know, then they started talking about failure to render aid, and they charged the cops with failure to render aid, but none of them went to jail. You know, and all the cops went up there and pleaded the fifth. So, like, you know, when you talk about a police officer's accountability when they break the law or when they break standard operating procedures and they, you know, go on administrative leave with pay, or they get, fired from the job, but they never face criminal charges. Like, those are injustices, you know, because it makes a system higher than the people. You know, and I think that's what I talk when I say, like, stuff undone. Like, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about families who cry because they lost loved ones. Like, people, who put their life on the line, for protesting. People who've been to jail, like, even people who've been killed out in St. Louis. Like, it was activists who was murdered, burned alive in a car. Like, 2-3 years later after the St. Louis and Ferguson uprising. But they don't talk about that. So, it's a lot of people, it's people who put sacrifice in, that still never got justice. So that's what's undone. The system change is what's undone.
What does justice look like for you guys? Khalil, you take that first.
Man, a place where I ain't got to worry about my son having to go through the same thing that I go through. I think I want to see a free world. Like, I want to see a world where not where color don't matter, because, like, I'm proud to be black, but I want to be proud to be black in the world where, like, black is accepted. I know when it happened, it will be a feeling that I feel. I know I just don't feel like feeling right now. So I know justice isn't something that I can say, I reached justice. Like, I know that's not something that I can say right now.
Destiny Monet, what does justice look like for you?
I feel like if a penalty for any crime is 5 years for a white man, it should be 5 years for a black man. If it's life for a black man, it should be life for a Hispanic man, for an Asian man. It just needs to be equal. It shouldn't be situational with black people and white people. Law enforcement should be held accountable for all that they do. There shouldn't be, oh, he got off. Like, that don't make sense to me. He got off what? I think that taxpaying citizens and law enforcement should experience the same things as far as breaking rules. We all need to have the same exact consequences. I feel like when it comes to law enforcement, we should be safe. Like, with our protests, why aren't the cops protecting us the way they are protecting racist people? And then they have on riot gear. I'm not understanding that. If we are peaceful and it's someone who is making jokes about harming us, why do they have more safety than we do? I just need things to be equal. If you're going to protect the races, I need you to protect me as well. I shouldn't feel like I can only go in certain neighborhoods when I'm protesting. I shouldn't be afraid when I'm pulled over by the police, whether I'm speeding or whether I'm just being black. I should be comfortable with reaching for my ID. I shouldn't have to announce it. If you ask me for my license and registration, I should be able to reach for that versus telling you, okay, it's in the glove box. I'm going to reach for it now. It's just certain things with the justice system that are against us. And if we were given the same equal opportunities, we wouldn't have to fight as long or as hard for equality. So justice is pretty much equality across the board and accountability for those who do wrong, not just us.
And Mariah, what about you?
Being pulled over, I should not start to sweat bullets when I see red and blue lights behind me. They're meant to protect me. So why are my hands sweating? Why do I all of a sudden start to get anxiety when somebody who took an oath to protect and serve me, my people, and everybody, my people is everybody. Why am I nervous? Why am I scared? Why am I scared for my brother to be pulled over? He used to, he has had a nice car, tinted windows. We made him get his car, made him untint his windows because of, you're a young black man. And a cop will say he felt threatened coming, walking up to your car. So the fact that we kind of have to teach our kids how to speak to cops, how to behave with cops, how to say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am. The fact that we kind of got to teach our babies before they are 10, hey, when you come in contact with a cop, you come in contact with an officer, you need to speak very properly. You need to make sure your hands are shown. They can see, but that is not equality, because I know for a fact, my white friends that I have, that I had through high school, none of their parents were worried about them going out and coming back home. Not one of them. That's justice for me, when we all are equal. George Floyd may have had a fraudulent check or a counterfeit $10 bill and is murdered. That's not justice. It has to be equal. That's how we get justice. When people are charged for what they did, not based off of, oh, I know you're 17 and you have a life ahead of you. A 17-year-old black boy, he looks like a thug. And a 17-year-old white boy, he looks, he has a future ahead of him. So we're going to give you a slap on the wrist. But black boy gets 3 years in jail, and now he's a felon. Now y'all ruined his life. Now he can't vote. He can't even vote for the things that he wants to change. Yeah, he made a mistake when he was 17, but he's 21 now. Why can't he vote? So things of that nature, they set it for our people to not be able to succeed. So the whole I'm being honest, it's the whole system. The whole system needs to be reset for everybody to be able to succeed, not just people that are not of color.
How many miles are you guys logging a day?
I think one day we did 9. I'm pretty sure, Khalil, we just walked 9 the other day.
How are your feet holding up, guys?
Blistered.
What's the end game here? It seems like people are willing to come to the table at this point.
Yep, that's what we want. But that's not, you know what I'm saying? That's not the end goal. You know what I'm saying? That's just the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Like that, you know, the fact that people want to come to the table, the fact that people want to introduce change in legislation, the fact that people want to have the conversation is a beautiful thing, but that's not the end goal. You know, the end goal is a change to the system as we currently know it to be. You know, as I was hearing on a phone call earlier with a state representative who also is connected with D.C., you know, when we talk about the change of justice and when we talk about changing systems of oppression, we have to talk about changing police as we know it to be in America. You know, and that requires policing to be different. That's the end goal. You know what I'm saying? You know, not just resolution being introduced that's redundant, you know, and repetitive, but accountability as well, bark with a bite. You know, that's what we want to see. But at the same time, you know, we don't want to compromise that for losing the momentum of the people. You know, because there's still a lot of people that need to be woke up. There's still a lot of communities that need to hear Black Lives Matter. You know what I'm saying? And like, we're not a Black Lives Matter group. We ain't funded by the Black Lives Matter National or none of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just believe and already know our lives mattered from day one. So, you know what I'm saying? This is people taken to the street, and then any allies, white, black, brown, you know what I'm saying? They join the street, you know what I'm saying? And it becomes a people movement. You know what I'm saying? We're not pushing anybody to the side or hating on any other, you know what I'm saying, gender, race, creed, ethnicity, sexuality, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because if we all coming for the cause of justice, then you got to look at the people who the most oppressed in the country and start with them. And Black people has been the most oppressed in America. So we start with Black Lives Matter, because when we change that, then we change it for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Then we can go to ICE and look at ICE. You know what I'm saying? We can go to, you know, XYZ. But, you know, until we stop trying to overshadow Black Lives Matter with All Lives Matter, because we're not saying that all lives don't matter. But what we're saying is all lives can't matter until Black Lives Matter is included with those all lives. We want to keep the momentum going. You know what I'm saying? Come to the table we can talk, we can have conversations. We want to go back and we want to change legislation and introduce legislation and make amendments to legislation, but that's not the end goal. The end goal is people having power. You know what I'm saying? The end goal is people knowing their rights. The end goal is people knowing what they can and cannot, you know what I'm saying, do in a system, you know what I'm saying, that's designed to be for the people. When you say liberty and justice for all, you know, that's really what we want to see.
So what makes this time different? We've seen protests here over these issues before. You've even led them, Khalil. So why is this time different?
Traffic. I love it. I love the traffic. You know what I'm saying? The first 3 days, 4 days, it was original. It was organic. It was people from the community. Like, everybody was out there. You know, you seen, I think somebody made an analogy, like, you seen the church guy walking with the hood brother. You know what I'm saying? You seen LGBTQ with the straight. You seen, you know what I'm saying? Like, you see people from all different walks of life. You know what I'm saying? Out here in the movement, that's what make it different. This time, it ain't a separation thing. It ain't that's just a black cause right now. And yeah, it's a black movement, but everybody is being involved and everybody feel like, okay, like things ain't right. So, you know, people taking to the street off of that alone, like, okay, yeah, you know, regardless if it's happening to black people, you know what I'm saying, drastically, but we know that it ain't right. And I think that's what people standing on, like, it ain't right. And that's what makes it different. You know what I'm saying? The fact that you got people walking in the street for miles in traffic, sometimes hundreds of cars is behind them. You know what I'm saying? Stand in line, stand in order with the people as they walk. That's what's making this different. You know? And it ain't like the civil rights movement where it was just the churches and everybody, you know, walking, you know what I'm saying, you know, collectively. Like, you got a whole shebang of people involved, and that's what make it the people's movement.
That was Khalil Coleman, Mariah Smith, and Destiny Monet. They're all protest organizers who are part of the group The New Milwaukee. They spoke with WUWM's LaToya Dennis.